I'm afraid to talk to God. What am I going to do? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Life.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Life, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike, and Pete, thanks to you for coming in. Good to be here, Pastor Pete. People, everywhere I go, say, you know, I like to meet Pastor Pete, or I say, well, you see how ugly I am? He's as good-looking as I'm ugly. Pete Allison is my pastor. We have him come in out of his graciousness. He comes in, but he's on our board. We're very pro-church. We want to make that kind of statement. He has neat stuff to say and great insights, and that, of course. And he's a good guy, so I appreciate your coming in, being a part of it. And as I've said often, he's on the board. They pay my salary. by the way, we'd love to get your questions, and we get thousands. And you always get an answer from me or a staff person or on the broadcast or in the magazine. But you've got to write your questions down and limit it. I mean, don't give us pages of questions. I mean, we'll do our best, but I just want you to know I had 8 staff people quit. And you're destroying the ministry, so limit it to 1 to not over 3 if you can. You can email it, steve@keylife.org. You can send it to Key Life Canada, Post Office Box. By the way, this is a new address, 28060 Waterloo, Ontario, N2L6J8. You can, in the States, send it to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. And don't use the 1-800 Key Life number for questions. Make a contribution. You can get a lot of neat stuff free, but you got to write your question down. Pete, lead us in prayer, and then we'll turn to these questions.
All right. Father, we do bow in your presence. I'm grateful that we can turn to you no matter what. Lord, sometimes we do have trouble in prayer. Sometimes we think we have to pray a particular way. Sometimes we are too busy to even think of doing that. But right now we pause, and we recognize as we think about where all good things came from, that it came from your hand, and you have absolute power. You spoke, and it was created. And yet, Lord, we know we walked away from you, and so you sent your Son after us, and we praise you for that. Thank you that you never let us wander. You do let us make decisions, sometimes poor ones, but that you always, always move into our life because we're yours. We thank you for your grace and kindness. We thank you for Christ. We look forward to worship this weekend, and we do pray that, Father, you'd meet us and prepare our hearts to look at you, and not just to get, but to give you the praise and the honor and the glory. You delight in our praise. So we pray for our leaders who will stand in front of us, our worship directors, our pastors and teachers and priests, and Lord, may they have a strong heart to know what you want said and then to say it, and we might respond. Father, we commit that time to you this weekend. Be with Key Life and be with this time now. We pray for your blessing. As always, Father, no good things happens unless you are a part of it. We give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pete, this first question, amen, by the way, is an email. It's an interesting question. And it really, last Friday, I just brought it up at the close of the broadcast. We didn't talk about it at all. But I get something like this a lot from a lot of people. And I think everybody who's listening will identify somewhat to it. Because of sin, I'm afraid to talk to God. What can I do about my fear?
Yeah. So the implication is, if I don't sin, I don't fear.
Yeah, so I can pray then.
Yeah, then I can pray, then I can talk.
And when we say that, I'm sure that this person who wrote the email, he'll say, well, I know that, but I'm still afraid what I do about it.
Yeah. What do you think the source of the fear is? What do you think they think will happen if they talk to him about it?
Well, I think they think that God's got a lightning bolt. I think it's a misunderstanding of a major truth.
Mm-hmm.
I've often said and believe that if you've never stood before God and been afraid, you're worshiping an idol.
Mm-hmm.
And these people that say, let's join hands, Jesus, and walk off into the tulips together, you just don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
This is a cosmic cry. I mean, this is the King.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just do that. But I also say, if you've never stood before God and felt loved and accepted, you've never stood before God, too.
Right.
And so we see the awesomeness of God, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that says something good about this person.
That's right. That's right. They have an understanding of the holiness and righteousness of God
and
justice.
Exactly. But God gets the praise when we realize that a holy and awesome God would accept me and say, child, go ahead and dance.
Mm-hmm.
Love you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would make sure that I understood what the Bible says about God so you have an adequate view of who God is.
Well, isn't that, yeah. Doesn't this question reveal, maybe if not an intellectual, a lack of understanding of God, but at least an emotional, because God knows anything and everything.
Yeah, it's not
anyway.
It's not as if you think, I don't believe a motel in that.
That's right.
It's like the drunk who said when his wife finally said she was going to pray for him, said, my husband's drunk. He said, don't tell him I'm drunk, tell him I'm sick. And that's God knows it all.
That's right. So that he knows it all, but it's sort of the... Isn't that the issue that we have a difficulty just owning up to who we really are in any particular situation?
Yeah.
That's why I love being with alcoholics, because they tell you.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
right.
You know, a guy who really knows it and is honest about, hey, my name's Fred, and I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And there's something so vulnerable about that.
It's so real, and God loves that.
Yeah.
You see, God's reaction to confession of sin and repentance, and by repentance I mean metanoia.
Mm-hmm.
It's God's methodology to change, not being able to change. I mean, God will change you through repentance, but repentance isn't changing. You do that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So when we go in confession and repentance to God, you can hear the angels sing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's laughter in heaven. He finally did it. and look, the Father's hugging him.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
The stars didn't fall
there. There were no lightning bolts.
Yeah. You know, and that's what they can do about their fear. But they need to think that way. We do a lot of things that overcome fear. We fear sometimes getting onto the turnpike or the freeway because everybody's going so fast. We overcome that.
Yeah.
I think you deal with your fear by going to the Lord over and over and over with your sins and recognizing that the angels are dancing.
Yeah.
And then, hey, it's not so bad. The world didn't come to an
end.
Oh, yeah. You know?
No lightning bolt. I'm not dead.
In fact, I'm loved. So.
You know what? I feel what he feels, or her, she feels. I don't know the gender of the person who wrote it, but
it.
It's very devaluing. It's honoring of human beings. But whoever wrote this, I feel that sometimes. I sometimes think, oh, man, I don't believe I'm going to pray today. And then I go to him, and he said, child, I'm glad you're here. Come here. And I come, and I get hugged, and I was expected to get smashed. And I've never been smashed. I love your comment, and God loves us without reservation.
Mm-hmm.
No reservations. My father taught me that. My father was not always a good man, but he taught me that kind of thing. And Jesus said, if you've been being evil, you fathers, how much more your father in heaven.
Mm.
So live in that. And then if you still really can't pray because of fear, that may have some other issues to it, which brings us to from California, what is the value of counseling? Are there problems that are too complex or difficult for God's word and the Holy Spirit to deal with? Is that a loaded question or what?
Well, to ask that question is to answer it right away. And
of course not.
No, there's nothing too big for God. But sometimes we do have this fear of talking to God because of early life father issues. And so counseling can be a value, but counseling with those who do view the Holy Spirit and
the Scriptures as normative at that point.
Yeah.
But, you know, the kind of question, you know, there's too broad a brush by some who deal with psychology. We have a wonderful department of counseling at Reformed Seminary where you teach sometimes, and I teach
all the time.
A lot. And those guys start with Scripture. They take as much theology, and that's why it takes a lot longer to get through our program than in a secular one.
Mm.
They take Bible and theology, and they learn to bring those things together, and the normative is the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
We start from there, but they also understand those kinds of issues you bring up when you speak to men's groups about father issues and things that are very difficult.
Yeah. And so, you know, to say that all counseling is bad and is not good, but you know, we do need to realize that we can get programmed early in life.
Yeah.
And if whenever you went to your dad, you got slapped emotionally or physically, whether male or female, man, it can be really difficult.
Well, it really
comes to the Father.
You kind of got to go back with Jesus to that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but the question is, I mean, why can't we fix our car with Scripture and the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Or the plumbing fixture in our house. I don't know.
Don't you pray
for the questions you're asking, huh?
Don't you pray for your plumbing to be healed?
Yeah, well, my wife healed her refrigerator one time with prayer.
You know, when we were in ministry, we could start
on that. She really did. I mean, it was a wonderful thing to watch. This is true. I was a young pastor. We didn't have any money. The refrigerator started making this noise and was going to quit. It was going womp, womp. And this is true. My wife said, "This is silly, but I'm going to pray for it." She put her hands on the refrigerator, and she said, "Lord, you know we're broke. I can't afford this thing." And that refrigerator went womp, womp, and stopped.
And that was it.
And it ran as long as we were there.
It was like
now, when the next pastor moved into that man, it exploded.
Well, she didn't put parameters on it.
No, she really didn't.
But, you know, pray about everything the Scripture says.
Yeah, and about that, too. What about the free? This is also from Georgia. What do you think of the frequency of the Lord's Supper?
You know, the Bible really doesn't tell us. I think it gives us great freedom. Although, the implication of Acts is that they did communion whenever they got together, even in small groups. And John Calvin wanted to have it every Sunday.
Yeah. We do it once a month.
We do once a month.
Yeah.
But
when I was a pastor, we did it once every quarter.
Wow.
Well, we did that not because it was less important, but because it was more. We made those high holy days.
Yes.
Used to be, they used to have a service of preparation on Saturday night. The elders visited everybody in the congregation,
mm-hmm.
ascertained whether they should take the Lord's Supper. So it was sort of like Yom Kippur. I mean, it was not a little thing. It was a big deal.
Yeah. And that's why they went to that at the time of the Reformation, to protect it, because it had been abused, calling it the Mass and the recess.
So we're not going to lay down any principle, because where the Scripture doesn't speak, we don't speak.
A lot of freedom there.
A lot of freedom there. As there is in a lot of places, a lot of people don't think there is. But never mind.
We don't go into that.
You show up next Friday?
I'll see you here.
Hey, you're great. I appreciate that much. By the way, whenever your writer calls, he writes, would you give us the call letters at this great station? I would be very appreciative. And oh yes, he likes. He's a listener-supported production of He Likes Network.